over the last few weeks, we've been really looking at how we can see that in transformation. But everything is intended to flow from the inside out of us. That's God's intention always, that we would have a personal relationship with Him, intimacy, so that the world could benefit from that. And we need to know that to do that, we have to deal with the things that are in the way. So we're looking at cleansing the gateways of our life, spirit, soul, and body. And this is the last part today of transformation through communion, part four, having not finished last week. And our whole desire is, as we engage with first love, see the river of life flowing in us, drinking that living water becoming a river so that it can flow out to the world, bringing life wherever it goes. But for that, we need to see transformation. Another word for that is transfiguration or metamorphosis, and it takes place at lots of different levels: spiritual, dimensional, soul, in our emotions, mind, and memory, and in our physical body and our DNA, genetically and epigenetically, as we've seen over this past few weeks. So we've been using the declarations for applying the body and blood of Jesus in communion. These statements were birthed out of my own personal experience over the last few years as I've just looked to see life come into this, because originally for me, it just didn't seem to find life. I couldn't really find something that was effective. Even though I saw in the Word of God it's so important, actually it wasn't connecting. So I've really worked at seeing how this can connect in a new dimension. So use those declarations as a template, but as Mark said, add something in. Change the words, make them your words. Make it so that it can become something that you can have faith engaging in. Because there's no point parroting my words without knowing what it means and applying it to your own life so that it has meaning for your own self, for your own heart. So last week we finished off with, "I choose to bear the record, my eternal image, conform to the likeness of my Father and brother in heaven, and transfigure to radiate their glory." There is a pattern in heaven, a record that's a part of my scroll, my destiny, that I can become like God and His Son. And then let the breath of God be breathed into my life, transforming me into living being, joined to the Lord and one spirit with Him. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, that if we're joined, connected, yoked together, having God on the throne of our lives, then we can be one spirit. We can flow together as one. So we're going to finish off today with the last set of statements. I speak creative words to my DNA to release the supernatural abilities of God. I trigger the ability to see and move in the spiritual realm of the kingdom. I trigger the ability to transform matter, control light and sound. Now, this is interesting stuff, which I really like. So Acts 3:20 says that he may send Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. So there's lots of things that have been spoken, prophesied, and Jesus is not going to return until we see all those things restored. So God's original purpose and intention for creation, he is going to restore before Jesus returns. So that means all the ancient paths and the ancient abilities that Adam had and would have had if he hadn't have fallen will be restored to us if we're willing to embrace that process of transformation. So there are triggers, not just for negative things within our DNA, but also triggers for God-like latent abilities or other supernatural abilities. They're already contained within our DNA. Now, we've been learning to try and engage our spirit to learn how to see and do things in the spiritual realm. And those are learned activities which our spirit can engage in and communicate through to our mind. But as we surrender ourselves wholly to God, he can actually switch on certain abilities that have been lost or removed and restore them. Now, the enemy counterfeits everything that's real, everything that's important, the enemy tries to counterfeit. So there are real abilities that Jesus demonstrated that are counterfeited today in what we would call the occult or New Age or other things. They're counterfeits of what Jesus demonstrated that were real. And Adam actually had abilities that are also been tried to be counterfeited. So those restoration experiences God wants us to have, so that all the supernatural abilities that are encoded in us will just become natural. See, things that we call supernatural are should be just natural for the Christian, the Son of God. You know, we only think of them as supernatural because no one actually does them. So when people do them, it's like, whoa, where do those come from? But actually, Adam was able to do these things in normal life. And God wants to restore those things so that they're just our abilities. Now, we have lots of things on the TV, and Hollywood picks up these things, you know, things like Heroes, you know, really good program with all sorts of people having a release of supernatural abilities, some really cool ones. Superheroes, you know, there's lots of films where we've seen superheroes and things like that. But God actually wants those things to be actually truth for us. So all the genetic encoded abilities that were lost, particularly when Adam fell, again at the flood and then at the Tower of Babel, he wants to restore. So those abilities were also connected with light and sound, because God is light and he speaks creatively. And so that we can re-engage with all the different electromagnetic spectrums and wavelengths that exist, we can't see with our natural eyes at the moment, but those abilities, I believe, we're going to see restored to us. So although these things may be presented as science fiction, they actually have a basis in fact. You know, so many Christians lag behind the New Age and the occult in demonstrating supernatural abilities, mostly because we've been warned off by a religious system to say you can't touch that, that's polluted. And it is. But it doesn't mean that there isn't a real equivalent that God does want us to demonstrate. You know, why should the New Age have all the fun? You know, God intends us to be much better, higher, stronger than any of that stuff. He's called us to be his children, not counterfeit. See, the enemy has sown sons of his kingdom into the world, it says. But God has his sons. Whose sons are going to be the stronger, the better, the greater? God's sons. So let's embrace the fullness of what that means. So don't let anything put us off from demonstrating the authentic supernatural. So the world has picked this up. You see lots of books, films, TV series, all about things like ESP, telepathy, people flying, becoming invisible, teleporting, you know, miraculously healing things, able to manipulate matter. Those things are things of heroes. God calls us to be heroes. He wants us to be his sons who answer creation's groan and demonstrate the truth to the world. So there are things like Alpha, Tomorrow People is one of the latest ones, which I really like. It's like teleportation and different things. You know, these things are prophesying into our spirit and calling us to engage them. That's why I like them. You know, they also remove the barriers that we put on ourselves and restrict ourselves. That's why science fiction and those sorts of things, you can watch it without feeling, oh, that's just rubbish, because it's not presented as truth. It's presented as fiction. But actually, there is truth behind it. You know, there are films like Push and Jumpers, even Frozen. Yeah, supernatural abilities, The Incredibles. You know, it's like these things, you know, Marvel, DC, they're big business. You know, they are producing multi-million pound films that are making a lot of money because people are being drawn to these things. Because why? We look at our lives and the mundane things. Like, wouldn't it be nice if, yeah, we had supernatural abilities? Well, you can. There are lots of these powers that are from different sources. You know, actually, science has tried to emulate the supernatural and tried to produce technology to match it. And so some of the things like Iron Man and Ant-Man and Batman, they just use technology. There are no supernatural abilities. They're just through technology. But there are also those who've had enhanced powers, Daredevil, Hulk, Captain America, Spider-Man, The Flash, Fantastic Four, because they've encountered something that's changed them genetically, mutated something. So they had some experience with gamma radiation in the Hulk and different things. There are also other dimensions, powers like Superman, Supergirl, Thor. They come from other planets, other dimensions. But actually, there are people being born in the world today, and if you look it up, they're called Indigo children, China children, that are actually being born with supernatural abilities unlocked. Now, a lot of people are saying that's sort of just a bit weird. But actually, I believe God is preparing a generation. And that generation is going to be reached by Jesus. And that generation is going to actually have those abilities already in place. So I believe Adam could see way more than we can see with our natural eyes. So he was able to look into the realms of heaven, engage in the realms of heaven and earth. He was able to walk with God in the garden, engage in, how can you see God? You know, but he could. And he can engage because he went into the realms of heaven as well as God engaging him. But all that was lost at the fall. So everything that his spirit engaged in and his spirit was on the outside of his body was lost. It needs to be restored. There were more abilities that were they had. They continued to have some to see in different bandwidths. They weren't limited to the seven colors of the rainbow. They could see other bandwidths. But that ability was lost after the flood. So God wiped out a whole load of things there, and he stopped those abilities because of the way in which they were using them. So we have things lost at the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11:4 says, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. So they were trying to make a name for themselves. They wanted a place which would be known as theirs. Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, they have the same language, this is what they've begun to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And that was the key. They had discovered things, and they were doing things that opened up a realm for them. Now God said, come, let us come and confuse their languages so that they will not understand with their speech. That is how they put it, but actually it was way more than that. So now we only actually see a very small proportion of all the wavelengths that exist. I know Ian Clayton says this. If you took the seven keys, seven colors, and put them on the piano as seven keys, then you looked at all the visible spectrum of light and then all the invisible spectrum of light, it would stretch to the moon. A keyboard would be here to the moon, 250,000 miles. And we see seven keys. So there's so much more that we need to engage with. So our ears and our eyes have abilities to actually see a wave of arrangements from nanometers in light to hertz in sound. But our spirit is able to discern a lot more than that and communicate to us. But actually, there are also abilities within our body that need to actually re-engage with that. So that not just our spirit is showing us things, that we can actually see things, which is totally different. So our eyes will not be limited and our ears not limited. So there are supernatural abilities that God wants us to operate with. So you can see there that that little bit in the middle is what we see. And it goes from a long, long way in terms of frequency and vibration, in terms of that. Our ears can hear a reasonable amount, but they're a lot higher, and there are a lot of other things that sound can do. It's not just hearing sound, it's using sound. So the spiritual realm operates in a bandwidth which we don't see physically now, but Adam could, and God intends us to. So God wants us to be restored to original condition. DNA transformation occurs in us when God's divine nature is assimilated and we become like him. So he wants us to be revealed as his sons. Now, if you have children, then the children carry the parents' genetic material. And if we're sons of God, then he wants us to carry his genetic and material, which are all the abilities that he has to do things. We're born in his image, shaped in that way. Therefore, we have creative ability engaged within us. So in some of this, seeing this stuff, I was very interested in the pyramids and visited them, I think, first in 1981, I think. And engaged in them, and I've been inside them and been back a lot of different times, and I was fascinated. Who made them? Why were they built? And how could they possibly be built? Because actually they couldn't build them today, even with our sort of current things. They tried to build a small one, and they used that to use huge helicopters even to lift some of the stones. So how did they do that long time ago? Well, actually, I went and had a look. You know, I went onto the timeline, and I looked and watched and saw what they were doing. So I saw some of the abilities they were using to actually make the pyramids. And they used sound and light. And they were able to use sound to move things, and they were able to use light to cut things. Now, we've used technology to imitate what they did organically. We can use sound to shape and form patterns in materials today. We can use sound to levitate and move materials. We can, and just a little bit, I mean, not talking about huge rocks. We're talking about tiny little drops of water and stuff using sound. But we can use laser lights that cut through material. And of course, you have that in science fiction, Superman's eyes or Cyclops' eyes in X-Men, to cut through things. That's a picture of three-dimensional mid-air acoustic manipulation, which is called acoustic levitation. So the drops of liquid are being held in the air by sound. And that's just technology doing something that God intends us to be able to do anyway. So I actually saw some other things in the pyramids when I was looking to see them, and I actually saw that they built some chambers within the pyramids, which are secret chambers. And as I was doing so, I asked God, what are they for? And he said, well, they were for information. I mean, the pyramids are fascinating things when you see how they're aligned, how they're made, the abilities of crystals. And recently, I mean, only a few weeks ago, they did some thermal imaging of the Great Pyramid of Khufu in Giza, which is the large one. And they revealed anomalies, which are variations in temperature on the Lower East Side, as well as the upper part of the pyramid. And they've discovered there are things on the inside. So I thought, that's really interesting, having seen that. And that's one of the thermal images. So you can see some rocks, and you can see the differences that's within and beyond those rocks in temperature, because there are chambers and things within those pyramids that were created. So having seen that, it sort of opened up my understanding to some of the things that we should be doing. So those children being born today with those supernatural abilities are waiting. They're a whole generation are waiting to engage their destiny. There will be a lot of people trying to use them for the wrong reasons and the wrong purposes. We need to be the Joshua generation to rise up and take them into their inheritance, as well as restoring to us the full inheritance that God wants us to have. So Jesus had many of those abilities that are being released today. Let's look at a few of them. John 2:7. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, draw out some now and take it to the head waiter. It was in a marriage feast. So they took it to him, and when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, so he was able to change matter, turn water into wine, transform matter. Today, and over the years, they've had a thing called alchemy that has tried to turn base metals into gold and other things. And they've tried all sorts of things to try and do it. Jesus did it. And if he did it, then we should be able to do it. Matthew 14:5. And the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. There's a supernatural ability. Now, how do we think he did that? One of the things I went and asked him when I went into heaven, and he said, what do you want to know? I asked, how did you walk on the water? Just instinctively, didn't even think about it. And he told me. Now, they were afraid because people couldn't do that unless they thought he was a ghost. Well, he wasn't a ghost. He walked to them physically on the water. It wasn't his spirit. He walked. So he had the ability to control frequency of energy matter to make things solid. So the water became solid as he put his feet on it. That's how he did it, because he could control the frequency of material. Luke 4:29. And they got up, drove him out of the city, and led him to a brow of a hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him off the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. Now, Sunday school will teach you, oh, well, they just parted and let him go. Well, they were about to throw him off a cliff. So he actually passed through them and went away. How? Well, because he had the ability to actually do that. How did he do it? John 8:59, another instance. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Now, They were about to throw stones at him, and he hid himself. So do you think he just went and hid behind a curtain or hid in a cupboard? Oh, well, they would have known where he went, wouldn't they? He actually disappeared in before their eyes. He hid himself because he was able to align the frequency of his body and disappear. He could bend light. He could shift dimensions because he had the ability to control things at a quantum level and engage. Now, there's a lot of other things he did. Now, technically, that's called quantum tunneling. And they've scientifically proven that you can put matter through solid lead and material because it can go out of phase into a different dimension and come back into this other side. Now they can see that there are scientific facts behind some of the things which we just see as miracles. John 18:6, and when he had said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. So Jesus had the ability to use his voice as sound energy. Now, we know he speaks words that are spiritually life, and they give us life, but also powerful enough to knock soldiers off their feet. But we don't think of it like that, do we? What do we think? They just sort of fell back in amazement? They were soldiers come to arrest him. His very voice actually completely knocked them off their feet. Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. It's Jesus talking about God, in terms of God, and upholds all things by the word of his power. He holds everything together by the word of his power. So his voice are the strings of energy that produce all the particles that exist at a quantum level, therefore all physical matter. Ephesians 4:6. He is one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. See, God is connected to everything to hold it all together in truth. Matthew 14:19. Ordering people to sit down on the grass, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up toward heaven. Now, we think that he looked up. He was looking into a different dimension. And he was looking at engaging at a quantum level what the bread and the loaves were. And he blessed the food. Now, he wasn't saying grace. He spoke empowerment into the food. Because blessing means to empower, to prosper. So he empowered the food to multiply by speaking into it and controlling the molecules and atoms of it. And then he gave it to the disciples, and they continued to keep giving it out. 5,000 men ate, besides women and children, from 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, he had a lot of supernatural abilities. So he had the ability to replicate matter. How? Because he drew it out of the heavenly realm, used that to speak into it and transform it. And you think, well, actually, I don't need to do that. I can go to Tesco's. Well, what happens if there is no Tesco's? What happens if there is no food? What are you going to do then? Well, we're going to run a city of refuge that's going to need all these supernatural abilities to function when everything else is not. Mark 4:39. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. So he had the ability to control the natural elements. Storm does that in X-Men. See, these things are just things that Jesus already did. You know, they're not new ideas. They're just the things that Jesus did and Adam was able to do. John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. He'd never met Nathanael, so how did he know what Nathanael was like? And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. So what was he doing? How could he know something that he'd never met and know something about the person he'd never met? Well, he had the ability to see from a different dimension, to engage the past, to engage the future. He operated in a completely different way. Mark 2:8. Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? So Jesus had the ability to tune into people's thoughts and feelings. Now, why? Well, because he was able to speak and tell them what they were thinking and challenge what they were believing. So there are many uses for that. Again, Matthew 17, 2. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. So they had the ability to radiate the light or glory of his spirit around him as an energy field. John 11, 43. He cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." So Jesus had the ability to call a spirit back from different dimensions. See, we tend to think of it as, oh, well, he raised the dead. Well, where was that person's spirit when they were dead in physical body? So it wasn't just a question of, oh, well, I'm going to raise their body back to life. He had to call their spirit come to back from a different dimension, which he was able to do. Matthew 12, 10. A man was there whose hand was withered. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and it was restored to normal. How could he do that? Well, because he had the ability again to see into heaven and actually see the pattern of body parts, because matter exists and changes form, but never completely goes. It doesn't disappear, it just changes form. So if you burn something, what happens? Smoke goes into the atmosphere and you get ash. Now, if you know the original pattern of that thing you burned, then you could recreate it. Now, Jesus knew the patterns of everything that's created, because guess who created them? He did. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. God created things through the Word. And we can also engage in the same thing. John 3:13. No one has gone up into heaven, but there is one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, whose home is in heaven. It's the Amplified Version. So he was able to live in dual realms, engaged in heaven and earth at the same time, and connect both and flow from one to the other. Our consciousness is not limited by time and space when we learn to do the same thing. Today, Jesus would have been accused by religious people of being a mind reader, a psychic, or having paranormal abilities. And they would have said, don't have anything to do with him. Now, are we going to be put off by what religion tells us, or by what other people tell us, or are we going to embrace the true Jesus? We must not be afraid of the counterfeits, but desire the full restoration of all the abilities God intends us to have. John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. How many people believe in Jesus? So this applies to you then. The works that I do, he will also do. So we just listen to a lot of the works that Jesus did. So do you believe you can do the same things? Yeah. So you need to know how Jesus did them and have the abilities that he had to do it. Because it wasn't magic. He had the ability to manipulate everything in, because he creates it and holds it all together. And he wants to give that to us. And greater works than these will he do. So what are those greater works? Well, a few of them actually were and have been revealed since. So whatever, and then he goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So we need to know that we're in the name of Jesus, in the power of that name, and have the same power and authority that that name has. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that opens up some pretty limitless possibilities, doesn't it? So all the things that God thinks about, Jesus thinks about, that are in his heart and in his mind, become available and possible to us. We just have to connect with it and see into it like he does, and then we can actually work the same things out. Acts 8:39, and this is a different one, after Jesus went back and empowered the church. When they came up out of the water, because Philip had just baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. So again, he disappeared. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, which was quite a number of miles away, instantly. So, teleportation, trans-relocation. I've had this happen to me a couple of times. There are many examples in church history of healings, raising the dead, miracles, supernatural encounters, angels, bilocation, levitation, multiplication of food, engaging heaven. But we tend to think of them as, well, they're just the old sort of stories. Now, the reality is you could not become a saint in the Catholic Church without some rigorous explanation and proof of what you did. So miracles were tested with eyewitnesses. That's why they were allowed to be called saint, because they did some weird things. Francis of Assisi, he didn't just have animal friends. If you read this life story, he did some really weird stuff. You know, he levitated and did other things. He did lots of miracles of healing. St. Patrick, again, we think of him just being some stuff with some shamrocks or something in Ireland. Actually, he did a whole load more of stuff than that. Now, there are others as well. St. Cuthbert, he was one up in the northeast, and again, he levitated and radiated light. Bridget in Ireland did supernatural miracles. St. Joseph and St. Gerald, there's loads of them. And there's a great book which actually describes and categorizes all the different supernatural abilities that have been demonstrated through church history. But people today just think, oh, well, they just made all those things up. They're just stories. No, actually, they're the truth. And God wants us to demonstrate that truth as well. John 3:12. If I told you earthly things, this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. If I told you earthly things, that is things that happened right here on the earth, and you do not believe, because he was telling them a parable about being born again. How will you believe and trust me if I tell you heavenly things? So there's a whole load of things that God could not reveal to him because he didn't have a grid for it. Well, today we have a grid. We have new parables and new revelation experiences, quantum entanglement, quantum tunneling. They're just new parables. And it goes on to quantum observation and quantum vision. The power of your conscious thought can actually create reality. Now that sounds really weird. It's just pure scientific fact. Because what you observe will line up with what you think. We just need to learn to focus it. So we're all in transition from the end of things as we know it and the dawn of a new day. And that is a day of conscious reality of what true sonship is. God is revealing what true sons are. And he wants us to know who we are. The very truth of who we are is ascending and expanding from out of the depths of our being where God is revealing it, so that our bodies themselves won't be able to contain that light and we'll be radiating that glory. So we need to speak creative words to our DNA to restore our sonship abilities, to control frequency, rate of vibration, energy at a quantum or subatomic level in our body and in the material world around us, because that is something that God wants us to use. To use light and sound as God intended. So embedded within our DNA are codes which are being awakened and unlocked. The sound frequency of heaven is being released, deep calling to deep. Something from heaven is being released, and it's calling us back to sonship, wooing us back into who we really are, embracing the truth of who we really are in God. Light energy, photon particles, unseen frequencies, they're all engaging at a subatomic level with revelation to remove our limitations. God wants to remove the limitations on your mind of who you are. Isaiah 61. Read this with a different perspective. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When we start living that supernatural lifestyle, everyone's going to want it, particularly when they're struggling without anything else operating, functioning in the world. So let's start to arise. Let's start to shine. Let's start to demonstrate the glory of God. Opening and cleansing our gateways is so the kingdom can be manifested through us. As a gateway of love, we can radiate that essence of love. The works of Jesus are just love in action, because God is love. The essence of who the Father is wants to be flowing through us and around us as an electromagnetic field of love. If we just think of it being, oh, well, I love people. No, you're actually creating a field of energy around you which people can engage with if it's flowing from the inside out. So all of us can have that atmosphere of the kingdom, because that will rule and govern by love all around our lives, creating an atmosphere, a frequency, a field of love creation, the spiritual realm, the angels, they can detect that atmosphere. What sort of atmosphere are you putting out? What's going to be drawn to what's coming through your life? It's like we need to start radiating from that which is on the inside. A few statements. You think of yourselves as humans searching for a spiritual awakening, when in fact you are spiritual beings attempting to cope with a human awakening. Seeing yourself from the perspective of the spirit within will help you remember why you came here and what you came here to do. God has got a destiny and a purpose for you, and you need to see yourself as a sun to fulfill it. Being made of stardust, you're much like a star. You shine with light, give warmth, burn with inner fire, and you don't need outside energy. You are energy. You have the power of God and the ability of light within you. You are more than your thoughts, your body, your feelings. You are a swirling vortex of limitless potential who is here to shake things up and create something new that the universe has never seen. God's creative ability in his children. It is entirely possible behind the perception of our senses, worlds are hidden of which we are unaware. There's way more than we can imagine or think, and we need to embrace it. But as you take and apply the bread and juice today, engage by faith. Don't just take it, don't just read the words, engage it, apply it. Allow the frequency of God's DNA to unlock your true potential. Release the reality of your true identity, a transfigured, metamorphosed son of God. Don't be restricted by your past. Part of the problem is we look at ourselves and think, me? How could I possibly do any of these things? Because you're looking at the self-image that has been restricted and programmed by your past, by your experience, by your genetic material from your parents. Don't be restricted by that view. Look at it from God's perspective. Don't let your past affect your present and rob you of your future and destiny. All of us can allow our past to hinder and stop us, or we can embrace an eternal perspective that God has so that we can go into the fullness of God. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So start to think about yourself, how God thinks about you, and embrace the fullness of all the potential. See, we need our consciousness expanded to see our true potential. Don't be limited by what you now see. Embrace the fullness of what God sees. We need to believe who we really are, sons of God. So engage God's eternal image. Don't settle for normalcy and mediocrity. Don't settle for what you've always known, because there's more to know and embrace. Become all you're destined to be. And don't settle for anything else. A manifested, glorified Son of God answering creation's groan by bringing it into freedom. And this is what it's all about. Romans 8:19. Anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Receive your freedom and your glory and bring freedom to the whole of the created order in which we live. So today, speak health to your bones and release the supernatural power of God to refine and impure any impure seed and deal with iniquity. Reprogram your marrow to change your DNA of your blood by speaking faithful words to it. Command any memories encoded epigenetically to be purged from your DNA. Speak to your DNA to unlock the supernatural abilities encoded within the record of sonship. I speak creative words to my DNA to release the supernatural abilities of God. I trigger the ability to see and move in the spiritual realm of the kingdom. I trigger the ability to transform matter, control light and sound. Do you want that? Well, apply it in faith and don't stop until you've got the fullness of that as God's children. Amen?
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R. Where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.